Going to be reading this morning from Luke 14, 25 through 35. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil and nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." I can tell you, when you work at home, funny things happen that wouldn't normally happen in the office. There's a gentleman named Jeff Hill who worked for IBM, and he was working from home, and he thought he needed to come up with a professional-sounding voicemail greeting so that everybody would know that he's hard at work. So while he was recording his new message one morning, his wife was across the hall from his office folding clothes with their 6-year-old daughter, who had just emerged from the shower. Jeff's professional message sounded like this. Male voice: "Hi, this is Jeff Hill with IBM. Female voice: "Look at you. You have no clothes on." Male voice: "I'm not available right now." Like I said, funny things happen when you work at home. And I'm sure that message didn't quite convey what he wanted it to, and hopefully he changed it before he actually left it on there. But it brings up a good question. Are you available? And that's basically what Jesus is asking in the verses we read this morning. Are you available? Are you willing to give the cost to be a disciple? He also talks about planning in a way, or giving thought to things anyway. And have you ever noticed that we don't always think things through very well? Sometimes we charge headlong into something and get about halfway in and go, uh-oh. Well, there's a story about a professional football player who, when they traveled for out-of-town games, they had a curfew. They were supposed to be back in the motel room by a certain time. This particular player didn't like the curfew, so he was going to outfox the coach. So he thought, "Well, I'll take the lamp off the nightstand, and I'll put it under the covers, so if he happens to come into the room, he'll think I'm in there sleeping." Didn't think through that one very well. The coach, as he was going from room to room and checking to see who was in the rooms and if they were following the curfew, reached and flipped on the light switch, and guess what? The bed lit up. He didn't think about that very well, just like we often don't think about things very well. I'm sure most of you know what the Darwin Awards are. The Darwin Awards, they give those every year to people who do particularly stupid things. One of the finalists for the award a few years back was a teenager who was in the hospital recovering from a serious head injury. When asked how he received the injury, he told the police that he was simply trying to see how close he could get his head to a moving train before it was hit. I think he found out, and I'm glad our teenagers aren't that crazy. Some people just don't think things through. Jesus tells us, suppose you wanted to build a tower, or in our case today, what if you were going to build a house? Don't you normally sit down and figure out, have I got the funds for this? Or go talk to your banker and see if you can get the funds for this? I don't think you'd start building a house if you didn't have enough money. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Think things through. Understand that you've got to know where you're going and how you're going to get there. Or if we were going to wage war with another country, for example, wouldn't we want to make sure we had enough soldiers and equipment to actually win the war? I don't think we'd go headlong into something without checking on that first, seeing if we had the resources. There's a funny story about an artist who had been camping out in an old abandoned mine shaft, and he decided he wanted to paint a picture of chains around his feet. So he chained himself up, painted the picture, and thought, well, this is really good, and then realized he didn't have the key to unlock the chains. Sheriff's Department said he had to hop 12 miles across the desert before he finally got someplace where somebody could help him. The sheriff kind of quips that at least he remembered to put his shoes on. We do funny things because we don't think things through. And we have to start thinking about those things. You recall here this past year we did a Bible study on discipleship and what it is to be a disciple in a Methodist church. And everybody really enjoyed that. And that's really what being Christian is all about. It's about being a disciple. And as a disciple, you want to be sure that you give everything to Christ. He wants you to be willing to give up everything. In the verses, he says, we're not willing to hate father and mother or brother and sister or children or any of those things or life itself, then maybe you don't want to be a disciple of Jesus. So it's important. Have you ever sent a text message and wished that you could pull that text message back? I don't think I've ever texted anybody and wished I could get it back, but I've sent an email or two that I wished I hadn't sent. There's a lady, a very entrepreneurial lady, who decided she was going to fix that little problem. She came up with an app called Second Thought. And it would wait, well, she says it will pull the message back. But actually what it did was wait 60 seconds before it sent it in case you changed your mind. Also had a little curfew setting in there so that in the middle of the night, if you are really not all there and you're sending text messages, it waits till the next morning so you can see what it was you were about to send. There's all kinds of apps. There's an app for everything. Ways to try to keep you from making the mistake of not thinking something through. The amazing thing is how few people think about the things that matter the most. And that's a real problem in society today. What are some of the things that matter the most? Family, health, your work, your reputation in the community. Proverbs tells us that your reputation is worth more than gold. So those are the things that matter the most. Those are the things that we should be taking care of. And it's many tragedies would be avoided if we would stop and think before we did something we shouldn't have done. Marriages would stay intact. You'd have better health. Our prison cells would be empty. Many lives would be spared simply because we thought about what mattered most and we thought about how we took care of what matters most. Most of you probably know the name Ted Williams, Red Sox baseball legend. Did you know he had 20/10 eyesight? Not 20/20, he had 20/10 eyesight. And he would only swing at balls that came across the strike zone. Somebody asked him one day, well, why don't you occasionally swing at a ball that's outside the strike zone? And he said, it's because then there is no place to draw the line. One of the most important things in our lives is knowing where to draw the line. Again, family, health, our reputation, our job. Where do you draw the line? When you're doing things or you're thinking about things, where do you draw the line? There has to be a place where you know, don't cross that line. Psychologists tell us that about 10,000 thoughts pass through our brain each day. That's 70,000 a week and 3.65 million thoughts a year. At least a few of those thoughts should take priority, not just pass through your mind. Sir Isaac Newton was once asked how he discovered the law of gravity. He said, by thinking about it. As one cynic put it, use your brain. It's the little things that count. Evangelist Dwight Moody once said that if he could get someone to think only 10 minutes on the condition of their soul, he could save them. But so many people don't even want to spend 10 minutes thinking about the condition of their soul. And that's sad. And it's getting worse in our society today. The most important thing for us to consider, though, is the relationship we have with God. If we are secure in our relationship with God, that would take care of most of the critical concerns in our lives. If we have this good relationship with God and we know He's going to take care of us, we know that He's going to guide us and we let Him guide us with the right thoughts, we could save ourselves a lot of concern. A few years ago, at West Point, 151 cadets were expelled for cheating. Pentagon wanted to figure out why, so they interviewed them. And two-fifths of the cadets said, it's because you stopped making chapel mandatory. Because they quit going to church, they felt, it's okay, I can cheat. Who's going to know? It's important that you're in church, in chapel, that you look at your soul. We have to have a good relationship with God. God will keep you out of a lot of temptations. Our relationship with God is that line in the sand we do not cross. Jesus taught us that. Think about that building before you build it. Think about that war you're about to rage before you do it. Think about your soul for 10 minutes. And if you were to go into, say, an auditorium, unchurched people, whatever, and you were to tell them that, you would clear the room. Because society today doesn't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about looking at their soul. But that is our job as a disciple. We are supposed to get people to look at their soul. Make disciples of others. We've got business people out there that are working 60, 70, 80 hours a week because they're worshiping the God of success. That's all they're worried about. To the neglect of their families, their health, their relationship with God. And that's why Jesus tells us to think about what you're doing before you do it. And He does ask more. He does ask for it all. But that doesn't mean we have to live at church. That doesn't mean that we have to renounce our lives and become a church worker. It would be great if we could do that. But it's a call to make our entire life, our work, our play, our family relationships, everything we do, pleasing in God's sight. The ironic thing is that when we renounce everything else for Christ's sake, we gain more than we lose. If you give yourself and give it all to Christ, you actually are going to wind up ahead of the game because God's going to reward you for that. He's going to take care of you. In 2015, there was a 39-year-old college professor from Venezuela that wanted to run the Boston Marathon. He'd run a few marathons before, and he'd done okay, but the Boston Marathon is a particularly grueling race. Up and down hills and rough terrain, it's hard to do. But he ran the marathon. He came in last. Now, here's what you don't know about this gentleman. He had muscular dystrophy. He was doing good to be running the race at all. but he was determined he was going to do this. And while the normal runner takes about 4 hours on average, it took him 20 hours to complete the race. He crossed the finish line in the dark and pelting rain with a flock of cheering supporters. When he was interviewed later, he said it was hard on the body, but in the soul, everything is shining. He was happy because he had decided he was going to do this, and he did it. And that's the kind of attitude we should take toward discipleship. We should decide we're going to make disciples, we're going to be disciples, and we should do it. And you will feel better for it. Your soul will be shining because of it. All Christ is asking for is to use your mind, use your brain. He is our Savior. So doesn't it make sense that we should line our lives up with Christ? Put thought into the things that you do. Don't go off half-hearted. Don't go off not being prepared. There's a saying that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's really how it is. If you don't plan for things, if you don't give yourself all to Christ, if you don't listen to what he tells you, and he does talk to you, we've talked about that before. He does talk to you, maybe not verbally, but you can get thoughts in your mind, and he will guide you where you need to go. You have to plan for things. You have to be prepared for that little pothole in the road, if you will, and continue to move forward. We are, as Methodists, sworn to be disciples and sworn to make disciples. That is our mission. And sometimes that requires some thought. Sometimes you've got to go places where he leads you that you really probably didn't want to go. I remember in seminary we talked about a preacher that would go to the bars, and people thought, this guy's crazy. Most preachers wouldn't be caught dead in a bar. When he was asked about it, he says, yeah, but those people need me worse than the people in the church. Think about it. He saved souls because he went to a place where most people thought, you don't belong there. He was making disciples because that's where Jesus led him. So if it means you've got to go down to the river, or you got to talk to some homeless people, or we get a group of alcoholics, or whatever it may be, people that you normally wouldn't deal with, that's our mission. Those are the people that need God worse than anybody. And we should be attending to those people. And don't do it because you're hoping to fill up the church. That's not what it's all about. We do it because we want to fill up God's kingdom. We want to grow his kingdom. If it happens to be through the church, great. But you as a disciple have to be willing to do what Jesus wants you to do, and sometimes that means giving your all and going places you don't want to go. Amen?